Thank you for letting us be a part of your day. Regardless of the changes that are occurring in the world around us, one thing that will never change is the powerful promises of God's Word. I want you to be encouraged as you listen to this message today.
In life, hard places are unavoidable, but that doesn't mean that they have to be unprofitable. Hard places, if you endure them, will define you, and if you give in to them, will defeat you. If you allow the hard place to overwhelm you, then you become a statistic, you become a number, you become another one who's gone by the wayside. What you need to understand is that God did not create you to be a number. He fearfully and wonderfully designed you and numbered the hairs upon your head because he knows you and he loves you and he has called you to be more than a conqueror through Christ. And what you need to know is that God will let you go through a hard place, but he won't send you there alone. God will never fail you. You may have a broken heart today. You may feel as though your life is coming apart, but God is standing right beside you. Child of God, if you're living in a hard place today, God is still on his throne. He is still God, and everything is gonna be all right. If you would please stand for the reading of God's word, and if you brought your Bibles, turn them to the Psalms 18. Psalms 18 and verse 6. As this morning we conclude the sermon series between the rock and the hard place with this message, the most powerful force on the face of the earth. In week one, we considered the rock. David told us that our rock was a fortress. He was a place that you could run to when trouble found you. And he was a deliverer. He was someone who would come to you when you found trouble. How many of you are thankful that God covers both spectrums? There is no rock like our rock. Last week, how to handle the hard place. What do you do when difficult times come? How do you go from tragedy to triumph? Today, the most powerful force on the face of the earth. That force is not hiding in a military bunker waiting to be unleashed. That force is not a computer that's waiting to be turned on to fill us with artificial whatever so that we'll be drones and zombies the rest of our days. The most powerful force on the face of the earth is a gift that God has given to you and you possess on a daily basis to be used at your liberty, and that force is prayer. When you read Psalms 18, David gives us the secret to his success. David was not 18 and 0 in the battles that he fought. He was not victorious throughout his life because God loved him more, because he knew more, because he was able to do more. David understood that whenever he needed a source that was going to deliver him from the trouble that he was in, it was going to come from heaven above, and the only way to get that was through prayer. No matter what mountain you need to move, when you pray, it'll move. No matter what need you have today, when you pray, God can meet it. No matter the giant that you face, whenever you go into heavenly places in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that name makes every knee bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When you pray, sickness is healed. When you pray, marriages are mended. When you pray, lives are restored. When you pray, prodigal children come back to the cross. When you pray, businesses are blessed with abundance. When you pray, dreams become your destiny. When you pray, doors that no man could open come flying off the hinges, and doors that no man can close are shut right in your face. Why? Because when you pray, the mighty hand of God moves heaven and earth on your behalf. Today, we read about the most powerful force on the face of the earth in Psalms, the 18th chapter and the 6th verse. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Heavenly Father, you said clearly that your house would be a house of prayer. Today, I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus to listen to the petitions of the hearts and lives of those who are in this room and those who are watching wherever they may be from. And as those requests go before heaven, open up the windows of your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and your power divine, and pour out blessings upon those who have the faith enough to ask beyond their ability to contain it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. What you need to know is that nothing really happens in your life until you pray. In Psalms 18, David is giving God not only praise for giving him victory over his enemies, but he's also giving us the memoir of how he was successful in 18 major wars that he fought. And the thing that I love about David is that he's very honest and transparent. He doesn't say, well, I beat this enemy because I had a superior strategy, or I won this battle because I was greater in physical ability. In the first few verses, he's telling us about how he found God to be a refuge and a fortress and a deliverer and the horn of his salvation and a stronghold and all of the difficult things that he went to. But until you get to verse 6, nothing really happens. In verse 4, he says, death surrounded me. Ungodliness made me afraid. Sorrow snared me. Death confronted me. This is not a Hallmark greeting card that he's writing here. But then in verse 6, he says, something changed. What changed? He says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. Nothing really happens until you pray. David said, I called upon the Lord. And what's even better is he heard my voice. Aren't you thankful today that not only can you call on him, but when you call on him, he hears your voice? Heaven doesn't have an automated answering machine that says, for healing, press 1, and for deliverance, press 2. If you're going through the same old, just wait. No, David said, when I called upon the Lord in my distress, listen to it. It says, he heard my voice and my cry came before him, even to his ears. David was saying that God is sitting in heaven, cupping his hands behind his ears, saying, talk to me. Tell me what it is that you need. Call upon me so I can show you great and mighty things that you know not. In the next several verses, right after David says, I called upon the Lord, from verse 7 all the way to 19, look at the list of things that David said God did to his enemies. David called upon God in his distress. He says, I'm down here facing a giant. God says, I've got an answer for the giant. I'm down here facing an army. God says, I've got an answer for the army. I'm down here facing an insurrection. God says, I've got an answer for the insurrection. And for the next several verses, he says, the earth shook, the hills quaked. God got so angry that smoke came out of his nostrils and fire came out of his mouth. You may have known some people that you thought they could get mad, but you don't know anybody can get that mad. He goes on to describe thunder, lightning, hailstones, fiery arrows. Why? Because when God heard from one of his children down on earth, he began to move heaven and earth on that child's behalf. David gets to verse 18. He says, they confronted me in my calamity. How many of you know that people like to pick on you when you're down? David said, I was at a weak moment, and that's when they showed up. And what they had planned was a trap. They confronted me in my calamity, but the Lord was my support. And he brought me out into a broad place. Have you ever heard that phrase, he narrowly escaped? Well, whenever somebody lays a trap for you and you get out of it by yourself, you narrowly escape. But whenever somebody lays a trap for you and you call upon the Lord, you don't narrowly escape. He creates a broad place. space. He turns their trap into a five-lane highway for your progress and gives you the opportunity to run where others couldn't walk. You can fly where others couldn't climb. You can go where others couldn't go. You can do what others could not do when God is your support. What am I saying to you this morning? Whatever financial burden you're under, whatever your family needs, whatever child you've got in the far country, whatever physical problem you carried in here today, whatever day of trouble you're in, call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. He said, call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. You don't know what God can do until you call upon him. Call on him, he'll part the Red Sea. Call on him, he'll rain down manna. Call on him, he'll cause giants to be defeated. Call on him, he'll give your business blessings you cannot contain. Call on him, he'll resurrect your dead marriage. Call on him, he'll heal the sickness in your body. You say, how do you know that? Because my God calls those things that are not as though they were. If you walked in here weak today, he calls you strong. If you walked in here defeated, he calls you victorious. If you walked in here sick today, he calls you healed. And when God says it, that settles it, because my God is not a man that he should lie. Call upon the Lord. That's what David said in the end of this psalm. He said, I will call upon the Lord, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. How do you do that? By unleashing the most powerful force on earth, which is prayer. What is prayer? People use the word all the time, but very few really understand its definition. And in order to get a definition, you have to use the source of truth, which is the Word of God. Prayer is not something you do on the sideline at a football game. Oh Lord, please let us win. If you're a Cowboys fan, you need to fast and pray. I mean, these kind come out but by fasting and prayer. But when you look at the Bible, you come to understand that prayer has a very real definition. And the first thing that you see is that prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. What does that mean? That means that prayer is not you talking to God and God listening. Prayer is a heavenly conversation that you get in with the Creator of heaven and earth. And not only do you speak to him, but he speaks to you. Prayer is not a monologue. A lot of people want to use prayer like a drive-through window. They don't have time to stay, but they want to leave in order and make sure that everything they ask for is in the sack. They think that God works like this. Welcome to What a Blessing. Can I take your order, please? Yeah, Lord, I need some more favor with God and man. I need less work and more money. I'd like to own my boss's house and his car, so I'm going to go ahead and name and claim that. I need you to increase my territory, lower my taxes and my cholesterol. I pray that my children don't get in trouble and keep cleaning the house. I ask you to resurrect the Spurs because they're down, and... Yeah, that'll cover me till Easter, so would you like a hot apple pie with that? That's not prayer. God is not your celestial butler waiting for you to give him direction. Whenever you pray, remember what Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Prayer is not getting God to do your will on the earth. Prayer is humbly submitting yourself to do his will on the earth. But like all dialogue, you have to learn how to communicate effectively with the person that you're in conversation with. The more you know someone, the more efficient you are at understanding what they're saying. You learn the sound of their voice. You learn what they say and how they say it. For example, when you get to know somebody really well, you can hear what they're saying when they're not saying anything at all. You know anybody that well? Are you married? I survived my childhood by learning how to communicate without him saying anything at all. I could tell by the way his lips were pressed together whether or not we were on good ground or thin ice. I'll tell you one thing about Pastor. If you ever go beyond the limits of his patience, if you ever take him to a place where he morphs from a man of love to a person of wrath, just before the fuse gets lit, he does this thing with his chin. He doesn't say anything, but his chin goes from dead center as far to the left as you could possibly reach it. And then when it gets back to dead center, your time is up. And I used to wonder about this phenomenon. Why? I mean, is this like... And then one day he was telling me about when he played middle linebacker in college and how his helmet would move around on his shoulder pads between the plays, and how whenever the quarterback would get back under center and the play was just about to get ready to start and he was going to go and hit somebody, he said, as he heard the quarterback say down set, he would turn his head so that his helmet would get dead center. And he said, and that way, whenever I got back to the middle, I could kill whatever was in front of me. I was like, oh Lord, I see it now. He's still a full contact father. That's what this is. You have to get to know somebody before you can communicate effectively. And sometimes people get frustrated because they don't feel like they're effective in prayer. And the reason they're not effective in prayer is because you haven't learned what God sounds like. People say, oh no, I would know exactly what God would say if he said it to me. No, you wouldn't. Read the Bible. Samuel heard God's voice 3 times in one night before he figured out who it was. You've got to get to know somebody. Prayer is something that you must learn to do. Prayer is something that you have to understand to purposely develop. It doesn't happen by accident. Prayer is how you maintain your spiritual strength. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. A prayerless church is a powerless church. A prayerless nation is a powerless nation. And people innately know this. Even if they don't want to admit it, even if they don't want to practice it. And the way that you can tell that they innately know this, there's something down inside of them that understands this. Why then, every time that there's a tragedy, the first thing that they say is what? Pray. There's a school shooting, pray for. There's a hurricane, pray for. There's a tragedy, pray for. Why? Because people understand there's something powerful that happens when people pray. Prayer is how you not only gain power with God, but prayer is how you move a nation. Prayer is how you see God's hand on your family. Prayer is how you understand that God has a plan for your children. You may not know what your children will do, but God does. So just pray for them. Do you know why this church has a 50-year history? Do you know why we're having the opportunity to celebrate Pastor's 67 years of ministry? Not because of a great Sunday school program, and not because of a youth camp, and not because of a revival service that was held, but because of a mother who refused to quit praying until her son came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you how real that is. When my father was a teenager, at the age of 17, the last thing he wanted to do was be a Christian. He'd grown up around them all his life. Been to thousands of church services, there every time the doors open. been to Sunday school, vacation, Bible school, and every other thing that you could go to. And the legalistic religious system that he grew up in had taken all of the joy out of Jesus. That's just how evil religion can be. So much so that he made up his mind, if all of you joyless Christians are going to heaven, hell might not be half bad. That's not a joke. He shared it at testimony service one night. He said, when I turn 18, take my picture, I'm not coming back. And I don't know if you know this about Pastor, but when he says it, he means it. So what happened? Why the sudden change? What brought him to the altar to give his heart and soul to Jesus Christ? It wasn't a dynamic preacher in a magnificent sermon. It was a mother who got next to her bed every night on her knees and would fill the house with the sound of her tears. God, save my son. God, reach my son. God, don't let him leave this house without giving his heart to you. God, touch my son. One night coming in from football practice in his senior year, he told me, son, I took off my shoes because I didn't want anybody to wake up and ask me about my day. He's sliding down the hallway in his socks, and he can hear his mother praying, God, save John. God, reach John. God, don't let John leave here without you in his heart. He says that night he laid in bed and he said the sounds of her prayers haunted him. He couldn't get away from him. Just a few weeks later, he's on his knees giving his life to Jesus Christ. Just a few days after that, he's off to Bible school. Now, 67 years later, 50 years in a church, an entire generation has been impacted for the glory of God with the power of the gospel. Why? Not because somebody came up with a great strategic plan, but because a mother said, I'm not going to stop praying until God answers my prayer and breaks through the walls of that boy's heart. The question that I have for you is, who are you calling out to God for? When is the last time that you got on your knees and you said, God, I'm not going to stop until heaven moves. I'm not going to stop until hearts break. I'm not going to stop until bodies are healed. Do you have a son? Do you have a daughter? Do you have a family member in the far country? Shake heaven and earth asking God to touch their life. Do you have a marriage that needs Jesus? He knows about the need today. Don't stop praying until he breaks through. Understand that when you go into heavenly places and you pray in Jesus' name, you have the power to pull down every stronghold and every principality that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when you go to heavenly places, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Prayer is something you have to learn to do. That's why the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not that they didn't try praying, but they recognized that when Jesus prayed, something different happened. When Jesus prayed, 5 loaves and 2 fish fed 5,000. When Jesus prayed, Lazarus, who was dead, got out of his grave. When Jesus prayed, the lame could leap, demon-possessed were set free, storms stopped. And they said, we want to pray like you pray. So teach us how to do that. Here's a question. If Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, needed to pray, do you? If he prioritized prayer, shouldn't you? The disciples wanted to know, how do you do what you do? Teach us to do it. And Jesus taught them. And then he gave them this promise, greater things than these shall you do. How could Jesus make such a promise when he's immortal and man is mortal? How could the God who is the truth, the way, and the life say something to individuals that are just flesh and blood? Because he taught them to pray. When you pray like Jesus prayed, you can do what Jesus did. Too often people get discouraged by prayer. And that's just exactly what the devil wants you to do. Be discouraged about praying. Why? Because when you pray, you defeat him. People say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what words to say. I don't know the right phrases. And it's probably because you've been around people who speak what I call Christianese. And they've memorized the right Father Gods and Our Fathers and yea, verily, thus and so's. I mean, it's amazing to me that people who speak poor English can get Elizabethan when they pray. And yet when you read the Bible, Jesus said in Matthew, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions like the heathens do. For the Father already knows what you need. Jesus gave you permission, even if you use the simplest language, just say it plain and in faith, because God already knows what you need. There's so much in the Bible that you could teach on prayer for months on end. But very quickly, in the rest of this sermon, I want to share with you five things that you need to do when it comes to prayer. The first thing that you need to know about prayer is that as powerful as God is, he cannot answer prayer until you pray it. What do I mean? I mean you actually have to open up your mouth and make the request. People say, well, what about silent prayer? There is no silent prayer. Those aren't prayers, those are thoughts. Well, I have an unspoken request. Find that in the Bible. Even Jesus, when he saw people who were lame, what did he say? Do you want to be made well? And they didn't go. Unspoken. They had to look at him and say, yes. You have to open your mouth when you pray. Why? Because there is something powerful about the declaration of your mouth. The Bible teaches us that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And when you open your mouth and you begin praying, you begin unleashing the power of God's presence and his purpose in your life. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Not because you didn't think right. It says you can think all you want to, but nothing happens until you ask. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, which means you have to open your mouth and ask. Do you know why God gave you the ability to talk? Not so you could argue with your wife in traffic. God gave you the ability to talk so that you could communicate with him. And when you communicate with him, you gain the opportunity to see the impossible done in your life. Mark chapter 11, it says, have faith in God, for whosoever shall not doubt in his heart but believe, he shall see all things come to pass. And whatever he says, verse 23, whatever he says, say that with me, whatever he says, God will do it. But you have to say it. God loves to hear from you. God wants to hear from you. God wants him to be the first person that you speak to. In Psalm 63, we read, O God, you are my God, and early will I seek you. Now, I need to clean this verse up for you so you get it in its original context and not in the modern twist. Because some people take this verse and they say, David was so passionate about the Lord, he got up early and he sought him. And that's not what it says. First, let's deal with God, you are my God. Was David repeating himself? No. The English language is pretty pathetic when it comes to interpretation. For example, in Hebrew, there are many names for God based on God's character. So when David says, God, you are my God, what he's actually saying in Hebrew is, Elohim, you are my El Shaddai. He called him two different names. You say, well, that's kind of silly. No, it's not. Have you ever looked at your wife and said, honey, baby, darling, love? Love? you've got several names for people that you're affectionate with. And what David was saying to God, Elohim means the God who can do anything. And El Shaddai means the all-sufficient one. He was letting everybody know that the God who can do anything was his all-sufficient one. And then when he said, early will I seek you, he's not talking about the time of day. He's talking about priority. Before I talk to anybody else, I'm going to talk to you. So what does this mean? This means when somebody comes up to you and pompously says, I rise before the sun to speak with the Lord. Good for you. Sleep in, you might enjoy it better. This is not about the hour of day. God is not a space and time God. This is about priority. What David is saying is when you prioritize God as the first place that you'll call upon, when you go to him before you go to anybody else, when you speak to the God who can do anything and he's the all-sufficient one, you're going to find answers for problems and you're going to find solutions in days of trouble and you're going to find victories in hours where you're under distress because that's the kind of God that you serve. The second thing you need to know about prayer is that when you start praying, don't talk about you, talk about him. How did Jesus teach the disciples to pray? Our Father. Often I hear people say things like, well, I just can't pray for a few minutes. It's 2 or 3 minutes of prayer and then I'm out of things to talk about. It's because you're talking about the wrong thing. You're a limited topic, sorry. But God is an endless conversation. And when you start talking in heavenly places, you need to know that not only are you speaking to the throne room of grace, but you are also in an atmosphere where there are powers and principalities and other spiritual forces. And so when you go into heavenly places and you start talking about our Father and you're talking about the Alpha and the Omega, you're letting every power and principality know that you're not just knocking on any door. You're going directly to the King above kings and the Lord above lords. You say, God, I'm coming into heavenly places today because you are the creator of heaven and you are the creator of earth. You are the shepherd of the stars. You have them numbered and you call them by name. You're the one who sits on the circle of the earth and you hold the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. I'm calling on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. I'm calling on the mighty God who is able to save and mighty to deliver. I'm calling on him who has never failed and will not fail me now. Go into heavenly places and make sure that you let everybody know who you're talking to. The third thing that you do when you pray is that when you pray, you thank God for what he has done. The Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And this world is a heavy place. It'll put you in some dire straits, some difficult circumstances. It'll weigh you down. But when you start giving God thanks for what he has done, suddenly you put on a garment that causes all of that heaviness to flee. You don't know what to pray about? Just start talking to God and being thankful unto him and blessing his name. God, I thank you for the house that I get to sleep in, for the roof over my head. I thank you for the job that you've given me where I have the ability to earn. I thank you for the family that loves me and friends that support me. I thank you for a church, God, that teaches the word. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving me Jesus Christ. I thank you that his blood has washed me white as snow and redeemed me. I thank you that he's broken the chains and the shackles of sin off of my life. I thank you that he's taken the shame and the guilt away because of his grace and his mercy. I thank you that he's given me access to you in heavenly places because he said, if I ask in Jesus' name, whatever I ask, it shall be done for me. I thank you that God, when I was sick, you healed me. When I was lonely, you comforted me. When I was down, you picked me up. When I was filled with sorrow, you gave me joy. When I was torn tormented, you brought me peace of mind. I thank you, God, that you've never failed me and you will not now. I thank you that by your word and by your promise, you are bound to perform anything that you have ever said. I thank you, God, that you've caused your angels to watch over me, and they're not going to leave me, but they're going to protect me, and no weapon formed would ever prosper. I thank you, God, that what I cannot see, you can see. I thank you, God, that what I cannot do, you can do. I thank you, God, that what I do not know, you do know. So today I come to you and I give you thanks and I give you praise, because you are a good God and you are great and greatly to be praised. Now you start giving God that kind of thanks and heaviness just runs. Why? Because you can't worry and talk to God like that. I hear people all the time, oh, I'm so worried about this, I'm so worried about that. Start thanking God. Worry will just take the exit. When you go to heavenly places, one, you have to open your mouth. Two, you are calling on God in Jesus' name. Three, thank God for what he has done. And once you've thanked him for what he has done, then you start praising God for what he will do. What's the difference? Thanking God for what he has done is giving him adoration for the goodness that he's demonstrated in your past. Praising him for what he will do is speaking prophetic blessings into your future. You're saying, God, because you did it here, I believe you'll do it again. Because you healed me before, I give you glory for when you're going to heal me in my future. You've turned things around on my behalf in the past, and I know that you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way in all of my tomorrows. I give you thanks and I give you praise because you're my shepherd, and because you're my shepherd, I praise you that I shall not want. I'll not want for joy, because in your presence is the fullness of joy. I shall not want for victory, because the battle belongs to the Lord. I shall not want for peace, because you are the Prince of Peace. I shall not want for anything, because my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. When you start talking to God about what he has done and what he will do, you start pulling down every high thing that in any way causes you to fear that God would ever fail you. You begin to crush every doubt. You begin to destroy every sense of want or worry, because your God is able to do all things. Give him thanks and praise in this house today. I say this in closing, the last thing that you do in prayer. First, you say it. You have to open your mouth and do it. Two, you say it to God the Father in Jesus' name. Three, you thank him for what he has done. Four, you praise him for what he will do. And the fifth thing, when you pray with someone in agreement. Jesus said, if any two of you gather on earth in my name and come into agreement, say that with me, agreement. It's very important that you don't miss that point. Because sometimes people say, well, all I got to do is just come together. No. In agreement. Not everybody you get together with are you in agreement with. Just have Thanksgiving at the family's house. Oh, sorry, different sermon. But when it comes to prayer, if you want exponential power, you've got to come together and pray with someone in what? Agreement. Why? Because God said, whatever you ask in agreement, in faith believing, doubting nothing, whatever you ask, it will be done. And that's why the agreement factor is so important. Because if you're believing for a healing, And you go to somebody and say, I want you to pray with me about healing. And they go, well, you know what the doctor said. They cut them from your prayer team. You're disqualified. You can't be in my prayer life. I want you to pray with me about my son, my daughter, my family member who's lost. Well, you know where they were last Friday. You're fired. Out. Because if you're believing and they're doubting, their doubt is canceling out your belief. But if you come together in agreement, the Bible says one of us can put 1,000 to flight, two of us can put 10,000 to flight. Exponentially, God pours out his power upon your life when you come together with the right person in agreement. So here's how we're going to end this service. I'm going to ask our pastors and our leaders to come to this altar. And we're going to have a prayer service. We've talked about the most powerful force on the face of the earth and how you can unleash it in your life. Why would we do that and not give you the opportunity to use it today? So as our pastors and our leaders come here to this altar, I want you to stand to your feet. And if you want prayer today, you can line up in this aisle here, in this aisle here. Our ushers will direct you to one of our pastors, and they're going to pray with you in agreement. These individuals know how to pray in the name of Jesus in faith, believing in agreement. And I believe what God said in his word will be true in your life today. Whatever you come into agreement for, God will do it. In just a moment, pastor's going to dismiss with the blessing. And if you need to go, we give you the opportunity to do that. God bless you. If you'd like to stay and be a part of this prayer service, we encourage you to do that. But you can't have what you want until you have the courage to ask for it. The opportunity is yours today. And I believe that God is going to change lives in this room. If you believe that, say amen and give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Lift your hand for the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord be a blessing to you. And may the Lord, his spirit, fill this room. And may God answer each and every one of your prayers. Let your faith rise to the occasion to dare believe that God would not do what he needs to do today. God is an awesome God. Turn your faith loose and just believe. Amen. God bless.
The splendor of the King, he's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide.
As Paul wrote to the New Testament church, whenever we consider the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should comfort one another with these words. I also pray that you have the opportunity to share this message with your friends. Invite them to be a part of this podcast and give them the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's not a lot of places on the earth where you get the opportunity to receive the truth as it is declared in Scripture. And I encourage you to invite as many as you know to be a part of this conversation. God bless you and thank you for being with us today. We also would love for you not only to subscribe to this podcast, but tune in every Thursday as Kendall and I have the opportunity to share a conversation about things that make a difference in your everyday life. God bless you guys. If you need anything from Cornerstone Church or Hagee Ministries, you can find us online or social media at sacornerstone.org and jhm.org. God bless you. We'll see you soon.